If you're thirsty for big business ideas and lessons learned from people who have started up or started over, you've come to the right place. We've got shots of inspiration mixed with a few ounces of advice, delivered straight up by movers and shakers in Saskatoon's business community. So pull up a chair. This round's on us. Welcome to Chamber on Tap.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, Trina?
I'm awesome, T-Bone. How are you?
You know, life couldn't be better.
It's always so nice to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to see you. It's nice to be in this exciting room, LB Distillers. What's your name?
I'm Bailey.
Hi, Bailey. What are you doing here? Who's getting a prize?
Oh, well, one of our lucky attendees for Chamber on Tap. Every month we draw for an awesome LB Distillers product, and so we draw their names if they bring their business cards, and then they get to go home and enjoy.
Nice. And something for the guest?
So there are two different bottles of a Lucky Bastard product, usually our vodka, sometimes our gin. Kind of spice it up every time, switch out the products, see what's going on.
My mouth is watering.
Right?
Well, thanks, Bailey.
Thanks. You guys are so good to us and to our guests, so thank you for everything.
Absolutely.
We love
you guys are awesome. We like having you guys here, and it's always a fun time.
All right. Who's on tap?
Oh, it's Jolene Watson from Clarity Coaching and Development.
If there's anybody that's been to, like, every single Chamber on Tap, it's Jolene. She's always here.
Absolutely.
It's nice to finally feature her.
I know. She is such an amazing speaker, person. Oh, she's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. Nadine, let the show begin.
Woo! Obviously, you've made a career of speaking to people and networking, so can you just peg someone pretty immediately, like in the first 30 seconds you're chatting to them, or does it take you a lot longer to come to those conclusions?
Within those 20 behaviors, some of my clients are all over the map with their behaviors, so they can easily flex between both sides, and then you meet people that are extreme on one side or the other, and they are very easy to guess. Like tonight, for example, if someone met me and said, hey, we should go for coffee, I have a paper day planner. I'm a little old school, but I would pull out my day planner and say, how about Tuesday at 2? Probably I'm more planful, right? So once you really deeply understand those you work with and your clients, you can actually schedule differently. I book more time with my extroverted feelers, an extra half an hour. I don't charge for it, but I know that they're gonna ask questions in the moment, whereas my introverts are gonna think about it. 24 hours later, they'll probably email me, not call me. Right? So I'm very strategic in how I connect with my clients based on what they would want, not what I would want. And I think the platinum rule, if anyone's been to any of my conferences, I speak about it constantly, do not use the golden rule ever, which is to treat people the way you want, because most people are not like you. They don't want what you want, and they don't want to be treated the way that you do. And it will work about 2% of the time. But the platinum rule is to treat people the way they want. And it does require behavioral adaptation, and that's where the neuroscience is really fun. So I like to dive really deep onto that side as well.
Mm-hmm. So for someone like me, I'm sure you have letters for me.
I do. I profiled you 10 years ago the second I met you.
So am I the same person 10 years ago? Can I change my profile?
So generally, you never change your personality type. And Carl Jung is the father of psychology. That is Jungian psychology, Myers-Briggs. You're wired a certain way at birth. Your brain is wired with your neuron connections. So your personality type generally does not change, but the more careers you have, the more life experiences, your behaviors start to drastically change based on what you're forced into or what you choose to work on.
So then are we more drawn to people who we think are like us? And if so, do those relationships tend to work, or should we be analyzing ourselves and looking for the complementary letters?
Personal or professional?
Well, let's go professional first.
So professionally, what we don't mean to, but sometimes, often, we will be attracted to people on a professional level that are similar to us because we like their energy, right? They're like you. Of course, you're going to get along with them and you're going to relate to them really quickly. But I always say get out of your own way on that. Mm-hmm. And even if somebody you're like, oh, they're abrupt or this is how I'm feeling, maybe that's their natural way of being. Don't judge so quickly. And I really like to meet people from totally different industries that have nothing to do with me because I learn and I grow. And I think that's where mentorship comes in, mm-hmm. that you should choose mentors that are your polar opposite. in those areas, at least two of those areas. And I know my mentor Graham is in the room tonight, my current mentor, and we could not be more opposite in all four personality areas. So jokingly, he calls me his empathy coach and he's my strategy coach, right? But I think it's really important to surround yourself with people that are like you for sure, but also people that are polar opposite, because you just learn and grow that way.
Mm-hmm. And what about personally?
So, I get asked this question a lot. You can date or marry anyone you want. As long as your values are aligned, it can work very well. But if you choose to be with someone you're polar opposite, there's a lot more work involved in that. And it's worth it if you put the work in, but be willing to compromise a lot and to really learn and grow and get out of your comfort zone. And often you balance someone out, right? Like my fiance is as introverted as you can get, which, well, he's not here tonight. Shocking, right? No, I usually don't bring him out to those large events with 400 or 500 people because it would be really draining. And I want to network everywhere. Like, I want to be around that room. So why would we go together? It doesn't make sense. So I think it's really important to value your partner on the personal side and know what brings them energy and what doesn't.
Zoom networking, Zoom platforming, that became an entire new thing for all of us. So the fact that there's Zoom etiquette, I mean, I just try to make sure I'm not on mute or speaking over people, but do you want to talk a little bit about that platform?
So it was a really cool certification, and there's some of the body language tips are similar, but most importantly, you have to be well lit and people need to see the whites of your eyeballs. That's how we release oxytocin. That's how we connect. It's easy in person, but online, if you wear glasses, for example, and there's a glare, people will not connect with you if they cannot see the whites of your eyeballs. So those ring lights that tilt, get your lighting correct or take your glasses off. But a really cool tip on body language too, if you have glasses on versus off, so who in the room wears glasses, but they're a weaker prescription, so like you could wear them or not. If you're ever negotiating or you want to look more competent, always put your glasses on. It ups your competence by 8% in others' perception. And I also study color psychology, so I have 9 pairs of glasses, depending on the industry I'm working with. I do career counseling too, okay. So I know, is this a thinking group, is this feeling introvert? I wear different colors of glasses based on my research and different shapes depending on the group. So another tip, this is my favorite tip for Zoom. I prefer Zoom, it's easier to navigate, but Teams, WebEx, whatever you use, is to have a microphone in front of your face. People will automatically assume that you are an expert, even if it's not plugged in. Like, just have it in front of your face, right?
It's a great prop, there you go.
Yeah, so just little things like that. Another tip, if you're ever facilitating for a long period of time, put polls in, because you know someone's on a different screen. You know people are working while they're supposed to be paying attention. A poll will draw them back, and every 20 minutes or so, hold up a prop, get someone else to speak, change your tone, because Zoom fatigue is a real thing, but there are ways to mitigate that as well.
Yeah. I know you're really big on self-promoting on social media, and a lot of us would shy away from that, but how has that been important for you? You're a one-woman show, so how has that helped you with your current, to grow your business?
Just showing up. I think, you know, I get 92% of my business from networking. Showing up, shaking hands, getting to know people, having business meetings. I'll drive to Swift Current tomorrow if somebody wants to meet with me, as opposed to Zoom. Because if you're in person, you can read body language. And I think that is really important. And there's a deeper connection with that. So not that you can't use Zoom, you can. But if I have the choice, I also ask a potential client where they want to meet.
What do you do if you are just picking up that I'm getting bad body language from this person? They're not looking at me, arms across, they're looking away. Is it just okay to bow out politely and say, great, see you next time? Or one more thing, when you get cornered into that network and you just feel like, oh my gosh, I'm cornered, it's been 5 minutes of talking and I need to, you know, talk to other people in the room, how do you politely excuse yourself in that situation?
So a really cool body language hack, if you and I were connected and we're here talking, but I don't want people to break in, we should square ourselves off with each other, square shoulders, and then face our feet towards each other.
Oh,
subconsciously, people in the room will know not to break into that conversation, or they should know that. Most people know that. But if you and I are talking and I'm, you know, enjoying our conversation, but I'm welcome to having someone come in, turn one shoulder out or one foot out, subconsciously, whoever walks in that door is gonna know they can break into that conversation. Or if you're in a circle, it's hard to break into a circle for anyone, it can be awkward, mm-hmm. is be that person that puts that shoulder out and smile. I think smiling is a really big one for approachability. If you're talking to someone and you wanna get out of that conversation, you can absolutely say, it was great to meet you. I just saw Randy, you know, walked in the room and I'm gonna go connect with him. Have a great night. It is okay to be clear, concise, to the point, and have boundaries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's definitely good advice. So this is going to help us in our future chamber events, because that is the purpose that we're here. We're here to visit, network, and gain connections. But it's not a skill that we all have, right? Or you're thrown into a new situation, you don't exactly know how that works. So thank you for that. Speaking about being clear, I really want to spend some time talking with you about goal manifestation, vision, bringing visions into reality, because I know that's been a really big part of who you are and how you've grown your business. So what can you tell us about setting clear goals and how to obtain them?
So has everyone heard of SMART goals? If you Google SMART goals, hundreds of memes will come up. I found one meme once that I kept and I loved it. And under R, realistic, it said in brackets, 50% realistic is fine. And I gravitated to that one because I thought, wow, you know, if all your goals are SMART goals, that is boring. You want at least two or three goals per year that are so exciting, and you don't necessarily need to know how you're gonna get it, but tell people that you want it. So the reticular activating system of your brain, it's like if you buy a RAV4 silver, you see them everywhere. Has anyone had that experience? It's because your brain is wired in. Mm-hmm. If you want something and you're clear about it, your brain will find solutions. And if you tell other people, they will find solutions. And the example that I gave, Tony Robbins, right? I wanted to meet him and give him a business card. I told everyone. I didn't even know he was coming to Edmonton. I got 4 phone calls in one day saying, I'm not gonna tell you what I paid for the photo, but if you paid extra and there was only a certain number of tickets available, well, if I hadn't told everyone that that's what I wanted, George Canyon, I wanted him to sing Jolene to me on my 40th birthday, and I got that. I'm very clear about what I want. My next goal, which is super exciting, is I want to be Canada's networking expert, and I want to keynote association conferences across the country. I'm already doing that, but I'm starting to really ramp up that side. I just hired SickPics. I have the video ready to go, so that's my next big goal. But 20 years ago when I was a vet tech, I used to do vision boards, I still do, because most adults remember in pictures. It works very well, colorful pictures. So you could do it digitally, but I like the magazines and cutting it out. It's a little more tactile. And I remember as a vet tech, I had a vision board, and I liked being a vet tech. I didn't plan on leaving at that point. And I saw a business jacket. And I don't know why, but I was drawn to it. And I was like, one day I'm gonna speak on a stage. And I put that, and I still have that board. It was 2006. And so even if you don't know exactly, but you see something and it sparks you, think about it. Maybe put that on a board, or is it a vacation? Visioning is really important, and also being clear and concise about what exactly it is that you want, really important to tell people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super important in personal life as well as in business, because I think sometimes we have this maybe a fuzzy image of what we want, but if you don't actually know, and it's kind of like you're driving in a car, you don't actually know what your destination is. You might want to go for a drive, but you're going to be driving all over the place. You're not going to get somewhere. So I think that is a really, really great piece of advice that you've reminded me on, and thank you for sharing. Yes. That is making clear goals, sharing them. Maybe you don't know how you're going to get there, but putting it on something that you can look at.
And I think asking. I went to a conference once in BC, and I don't even know what prompted me to say this. This isn't something I would normally do, but I met this lady at her booth, and I said, I want to speak in all 5 Western provinces by July. And I don't even know why I said that. And she looked at me and said, would you do 3 airplane rides and 2 long car drives in 5 days? Yes. Within 3 months, I got my goal. But if I hadn't said anything, I wouldn't have got it. So be clear, but also ask, because somebody else might have the solution before you do.
No, that's important. Speaking things into reality, I suppose. If you keep it all inside and these are just your own private dreams or thoughts, you're right. There could be someone sitting right next to you at the coffee shop that's going to say, oh, I actually have an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
So would you say that is how you've managed to manifest and achieve your goals to this point?
Yeah. And I didn't mention I also managed a human metabolomic research facility once for a couple years. And I'd left the veterinary world, and my friend said, what's your dream if you could make anything up? And I said, I want to I want to work with health, lifestyle, and I want to cure or prevent diseases through lifestyle and diet change. And she's like, "What? How, where did this even come from?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm listening to a Tony Robbins series on healthy eating right now, and this is what I want to do." 2 weeks later, she said, "I found your job." And I was like, "I made that up." And she goes, "Yeah, it's a metabolomic facility at Innovation Place here back in 2009, and they're looking for an office manager, and they have a pharmacist and researchers, and they deal with metabolites and health." And it was exactly what I had said that I made up. But because I said it and she knew someone that worked there, I got the interview. I had no business getting that job, but I was passionate and willing to learn, got the job. So I did that for 2 years, and that's what really got me into networking too, because that was part of my job. So everything you've done in your past, it's never a waste. I know Tony Robbins always says, you can't take away someone's skills. Always invest in yourself. And that's my addiction, is professional development.
I would say so. I was asking you during our sort of preamble how you continue to learn and where you draw all this information from. And you said it yourself, you're pretty addicted to learning. So your next goal, as you've said it to all of us now, you want to be known as Canada's number one network speaker. Can you elaborate a little bit on what that is like so that when you get there, we can say, we remember you telling us about this.
It's so fun. Actually, this Friday, speaking of manifestation, I'm speaking to 100 women for the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation for conservation. And they put out a call for speakers, and they had a list of what they were looking for: presentation skills, board governance, all these things. And I called her immediately and said, "I'm not on there, but I think we need to do a 2-hour networking course Friday night to kick off this conference so that everyone's better networked and they can connect better, and it's just gonna kick off your conference." And she goes, "Let's do it." And so I made that up, but I just said, "You should add me in," and then she did. And then I said, "Oh, and we should also have a panel on Sunday on mentorship and the importance of it." And so then we did that too. But I think it's just asking for what you want and then just going full force. I think I'm really good at that, and I think most of us are if we know that it's gonna light us up.
Thank you, Jolene. I could talk to you all night. I'm so excited that you joined us, and I know that there's a lot of people that will have questions here for you, but round of applause for Jolene.
This has been a distilled version of Chamber on Tap, a live event hosted monthly by the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce. Check out upcoming dates and speakers at saskatoonchamber.com or follow the Chamber on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram using the handle @thechamberyxe.
Produced at Sound Lounge by T-Bone.